Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
It's a Friday morning. It is the 8th of March, 2024. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Oh, my goodness. Hunter McCullough is such a beauty. Anyway, it's the Friday edition. It's the 8th of March. Yeah, we got through all that. We got hockey to talk about. It's senior night for the Bulldog men tomorrow night. You'll hear from fifth-year senior goaltender Matthew Thiessen in a little bit. Had a fun conversation with him earlier this week down at the rink and kind of talking about his career up to this point, his emotions going into senior night, all that fun stuff with Matt coming up in a little bit. We'll talk some hockey throughout the hour. Boy, Grand Rapids last night, what a finish. Nathan Garski, 1.6 to go in regulation. Thunderhawks win 2-1 over White Bear Lake. If you don't have a little bit of you that can have some sympathy for White Bear Lake, and oh my gosh, 20 appearances in the state tournament, they are 0-20 in the first round. That's an impossible streak. If you can't have a little bit of sympathy for the Bears after that last night. A very well-played hockey game both ways, and it's just a tough way to end it for White Bear Lake. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I got a little bit. I'm happy Grand Rapids won, though. Good to see him moving on to the semis against Edina tonight. That's a whole different dragon they'll try to slay at 8:30. Hermantown, Montevideo, the second Class A semifinal, roughly 1:30 in St. Paul, preceded by St. Cloud Cathedral and War Road. Single-A championship noon tomorrow, double-A at about 7 down at the X in St. Paul. Bulldog men versus St. Cloud State caught up this week with the ex-Denfeld Hunter, ex-Bulldog, now head coach of the Huskies, Brett Larson.
I want to go way back. You might not even remember at this point because you played so much hockey since then. But over the Christmas break, you over in Sweden with the World Junior team. I talked to David Carl about this last month, and that was fun, but I want to get your reflections, too, on winning gold with Team USA this past winter. I guess it's spring now with the weather we've had over in Sweden.
Yeah, it was obviously an unbelievable experience just to be a part of that, to be able to beat Sweden in Sweden for the gold. The atmosphere was electric in there. Obviously, for us, the U.S. hadn't done well in Europe in a long time. It's a tough place to go over there and play, it was a special group, a special staff, and some I'll never forget.
It's one thing, you know, to have. We all thought, those of us that follow it somewhat closely, and the scouts that I read from, they already thought that the U.S. had the best team. That doesn't mean you're going to do anything because you've got, like you said, you've got to go in there and beat them, and they probably had the second best team. Yeah, the atmosphere, I talked to David about this too. The atmosphere in that gold medal game, it came across unbelievably on TV. I can only imagine what it was like to experience it in person.
Well, it's funny because, you know, as you know, I've been really fortunate to be part of, I think, four or five national championship games now. David, you know, been quite part of a few, won one. We looked at each other when we walked out on the bench and we were both like, wow, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it was electric in there. It was crazy. There was so much national pride, obviously, for Sweden, being at home, being in the gold medal game. It was nerve-wracking the first few minutes of that game, but it's also what makes it special. It's such a great tournament and such a big time of event on the world stage. It was really fun to be a part of it.
The feeling of as you start to pile up the goals late in that game and the air just gradually comes out of that building. I mean, I think I've told you this before. There's nothing better than going into somebody else's loud barn and quieting the crowd. What was that like?
Yeah, that was crazy. And then we got a 4-minute power play with about 10 minutes left in the third period with the lead. And those can be really scary sometimes because, you start pressing, they're jumping, they're holding nothing back. They're trying to score shorthanded on you. It's the first time we'd ever been happy to get through a 4-minute power play even. We kind of felt like we got through those 4 minutes. We settled down from there and it was really fun just to watch the seconds tick off the clock towards the end. Oh, we're going to win that thing.
Talking to St. Cloud State head coach Brett Larson. Before we get to your team and this weekend series here in Duluth, last week, I think it was, the fine people at Husky Productions put together a feature on assistant coach RJ Enga and the health issues that he went through a few years ago, and the fact he's able to get back, and the fact he's alive is a minor miracle considering what he's been through, and the fact he's back coaching is just unbelievable. What's he meant to you and your coaching staff?
You know, he's meant a ton. RJ and I go way back. We grew up together playing on the U.S. Select 16 team together, the U.S. 17 team together. We've known each other forever, played against each other when he was at CC and I was at UMD. We coached on the World Junior A Challenge team together and now in St. Cloud together. And he's just an unbelievable guy. And it certainly changed him. It's given him a perspective on life that's just unbelievably positive. It wears off on our guys. I mean, even a day like today for us, coming off our toughest weekend of the year, the perspective that RJ is, hey, guys, let's be thankful for today. We got an opportunity to get better, and let's all be glad we have today. And, you know, having that perspective on life from a guy that went through so much and to be honest, almost didn't make it, has been just a real big part of our program.
Last weekend, you mentioned toughest weekend of the year for you. You don't get points out of the weekend, which is the first time that that's happened, you know, pairwise, NCHC, whatever it may be, as Denver gets the sweep in your building. And I go back to when we visited you in November, and we were coming off getting swept at home, and I remember you saying, I know what a week's like with Scott Sandlin when they get swept at home. What's a week like with Brett Larson when he gets swept at home?
You know, it's the same feel. I mean, everyone hates it. And let's be honest, this Monday is not a fun day. I explain it this way. This week can't go fast enough. You want to get back on the ice and prove that that's not who you are. And every day you're just chomping at the bit. And every day you just want to get through it to get to that Friday night and try to prove that's not who you are. We had a real slow start on Friday. They came out and burned us right away and got up 3-0 in the first period. And then Saturday, to be honest, we probably played as good as we could play for 2.5 periods and still down 3-4-0. So it was a real frustrating, humbling weekend for us. And I know the guys are desperate to get back and try to play our best game.
How much, as you go through this week, and you know, yes, your older guys especially have got to be just dying to get back out and compete against somebody. How much do you lean on those older guys and your leaders to keep things calm in there? That, you know, especially like you said, if you feel like you played well Saturday, maybe you didn't get a bounce or two that you needed. It's not like you're that far off.
Yeah, and that's the key. That was kind of the message for us. This weekend, obviously unacceptable. We've gotten points every weekend this year all the way through. It's the first time it's happened to us, and we need to bounce back from that. But I also did, you know, I could sense how low the group was. I felt it. I mean, I was miserable on Sunday. We all feel that feeling like, my God, is the season going off the rails? How could we get beat that bad twice at home? And I had to remind them, we're only a week away from beating Western Michigan 3-0 at home and probably having one of our best efforts of the year. We're only a week away from, you know, we went through a stretch where we got points in 7 out of 8 games in a row in the NCHC. You know, they all weren't the kind of points you want. Some were overtime losses, but some were shootouts and everything else. But anytime you get points every weekend in the NCHC, that's a big deal. So as much as we talked about it being unacceptable, we also talked about we're not that far off from playing some of our best hockey and trying to get that confidence back up again.
Visiting with St. Cloud State head coach Brett Larson. I don't ask coaches to rip the officials, so I'm not going to bring that part of it up. But I know, after the Friday Western game, I read McHatton's article at therinklive.com. I know you're mad at the officials over that no-goal call late in regulation, yep. But you're also mad at your team. You didn't think your team played very well. How happy were you the way that they recentered themselves in that Saturday game, like you said, played very well against Western?
We played probably our best hockey game of the year against Western and shutting a really, really good offensive team out. And I was really happy with our team because, honestly, Bruce, one of the most frustrating games I've ever been a part of. A lot of debate on that goal. I think it's going to be some summer meetings within the league with the verbiage within our rules versus the NHL. When I have every ref and linesman and supervisor tell me that they know that it was a goal for sure but can't call it a goal, that's frustrating. And when I have them tell me in the NHL that would be a goal 100 times out of 100, that's frustrating. So with that being said, there was a lot of frustration with our play. and kind of with, to be honest, feeling like he got hosed a little bit. So I was really happy that our guys were able to put that behind us and come out and play a great game on Saturday night.
VDB Entinen's got 15 goals, which is not a surprise because he's a shooter and that's what shooters do. His brother Werner's got 19 points as a freshman. The most important question, though, is you've gotten through almost an entire season with two Miettinens. Have they gotten into a fight during practice yet?
No, those two guys, I think it's funny. They're two of the quietest guys you've ever been around. And I would say VD might be the last guy I'd ever see in a fight. maybe his brother. I'll kid VD a little bit. I think Werner might be a little bit tougher, even though he's the younger one. So not yet. But there is, you know what, it's funny. We did think that, you know, VD had a really good start to the year. And a lot of it was we thought he wanted to show his younger brother who's the boss and show him who's the man around here. So I think having Werner here has helped VD have a good year.
Which isn't the worst thing to have happen because, you know, it's not like he's been a bad player for you, but anytime you get a player like that, a little bit extra juice, as you know, sometimes that can make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially a guy like VD. He's a guy that can break a game open for us with his shot. He's dangerous anytime he gets it between the dots. I mean, I'd say there's two of the best guys in the league with that in the series this weekend with VD and with Steve. So those are two guys that, anytime the puck is on their tape between the dots somewhere, it could go in. So obviously we're going to do our best to defend him, and I know Duluth will be doing their best to defend Beattie.
After about 14 years of Spencer Meyer as your captain, you now have Dylan Anhorn as your captain. What's that been like?
You know what? There's always a little transition. I remember when I first got here, Jimmy Schultz had been the captain for 3 years in a row, and then Jack Eshon came in the next year as the captain. There's always a little bit of transition with that. We're a much younger team this year. I'll be honest with you, we're not as mature of a team. Got a lot of really good guys, and we love the group, but there's been a lot of growing experiences this year. I think Dylan's really handled that well. He's a guy that expects a lot out of his teammates. He brings the best every day. I think he's done a really, really good job replacing Spencer with probably a team that needs a little more leadership, to be honest, this year, and I think he's provided that.
You know, the leadership piece is so key in this sport, and you've had some really good groups of older guys, and it's not just Dylan Anhorn this year, but you've got fifth-year guys, you've got fourth-year guys. How much do you lean on them over the course of an entire season, especially how young you are behind them?
Yeah, a lot. You know, this week, like I told you, this week started with our leadership meeting with eight guys that have been around here for a long time and been through a lot together, and we really need them right now to get this team picked up off the mat. I mean, we took a right hook to the jaw this weekend, and I think the most important for me this week is to get our confidence level back up and our get a little bit of swagger coming back to the rink again, and having to lean on those guys. They've been through those things. They've taken punches in the past, had to get up again, and that group has been through a lot together, and they're really important to us.
Coming off a tough weekend, I know it's not a slump because it's one bad weekend, but coming off a tough weekend, when you've got the postseason right around the corner, do you want to narrow your guys' focus a little bit here? You know, coming off that weekend, coming into a big weekend, rivalry weekend in Duluth?
Big time. And I think it's an easy one for both teams to do that because, in all honesty, this has turned into just such a fun series. I think that every guy in both teams would admit it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle. It's going to be a war. These two teams have really grown to, I think, enjoy that compete against each other. And I think for the most part, it's going to be a focus on compete. And it's two teams that have had to go head-to-head a lot over the last few years. And I think if there's a narrow focus, it's going to be each team trying to outwork and outcompete the other. And that's going to be the battle. That's going to be the game within the game.
A couple more here for St. Cloud State head coach Brett Larson. Tell me about Adam Ingram a little bit, his sophomore year. I really liked what I saw of him as a freshman. He impressed me at your building in November, but we haven't seen you in 3-4 months, whatever it is.
Keeps finding a way to create offense. You know, he's growing as a player, trying to work on his 200-foot game. We're still, you know, he's a young kid that's got to keep going physically. He's put on a couple pounds during the year, but he's a guy that can wow you with his speed and his stick. He's got a great release. He's got great hands. Tall, lanky kid that if he gets some room, he can also accelerate into a good scoring area. And he's been a big piece for us. He's added secondary off. Well, not secondary offense anymore. He's been kind of a main part of our offense. And for us to be successful this year, we knew with all the guys we lost, we had to have guys like to be honest, we needed guys like Kyle Kupka to have a great year. We needed guys like, you know, Adam Ingram to have a great year. And then obviously we needed the Okabes and Mantons to do what we expected them to do. So at least a secret for us to be in the mix here in the NCHC and in the national picture. If we wanted any chance, we needed those secondary guys like Ingram and Kupka to step up, and they really have, and that's why we've got a chance here going down the stretch still to make a good run.
You've used three goaltenders this year, primarily Dominic Bassi. We've seen some of Isaac Posch here as of late, the ex-Minnesota Wilderness standout, helped them to the Robertson Cup last year. What are you seeing from your goaltenders? Is you again, you're getting ready for the playoffs.
We are, and right now we've got a battle. We really do. You know, for a while, Bass played really well. Posch got some games, played great. Jimmy Gray stepped in and had a good one. Right now, we've got an absolute battle, and it's going to be interesting. There's a chance that we play both of them this weekend and see who can run with it going into the playoffs. But right now, it's a real battle between the two, especially at the top with Bassi and with Posch.
These have been physical, hard-hitting games, even on the big sheet in your place over the last few years. These teams have developed a heck of a rivalry, if nothing else, through repetition. And now we'll see each other again for, and it feels like it's been forever, even though it's only been since November since these two teams played, because they played so much the previous three seasons. A couple of keys for your group this weekend in Duluth.
Yeah, key number one, shakeoff last weekend. Key number two is the narrow focus of going up there with the mindset of, for us to have a chance in Duluth, we got to be able to match the compete level. I'll tell you what, I watched Duluth on tape. Obviously, we watched them preparing for Denver. Watched their 5-4 overtime loss on a Friday night. I thought Duluth, to be honest, was the better team that night. We know how good they're going to be. We know how big the challenge is, and we need to shake off last weekend, and we got to make sure we match the compete level, which won't be easy. But if we can do that, it'll give us a chance.
Coverage at 6:30 tonight with Craig and me from Amsoil Arena here on KDAL. Final couple home games of the regular season. $17 bleacher seat special if you'd like to take advantage of that at umdbulldogs.com. We're brought to you by Sanju. Thanks to them, Sanju Polaris, sanju.com. It is 10:27. More to come on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota hockey after this.
When we say that Cub milk is the freshest in town, we mean it. Less than 48 hours from farm to store fresh. We guarantee 7 days or more of freshness. It all starts with local dairy farmers who take great care in making sure all the cows are happy and healthy. We support local farm families 365 days a year. And that makes our milk even more delicious. So you always get the freshest milk and the biggest smiles.
The 5th-ranked Gopher women's hockey team opens the semifinal round of the WCHA final faceoff tonight at Ritter Arena. They face number 2, Wisconsin. Minnesota head coach Brad Frost is excited to get to the postseason after a year that has them at 27-8-2 so far.
It's been a really enjoyable season, one of the more enjoyable seasons that I've had as a head coach. You know, coming into the year, we lost 11 seniors, some of which were pretty darn elite players, and a lot of them are playing professionally right now. And so we knew what we had, but we had players that were going to be playing in some different positions, power play, penalty kill, top 9 minutes, and things like that. And one thing we did know is that we were going to be really good in nets. Skylar Vetter and Lucy Morgan have proven that all year as they've split a lot of the games. And so it's been really fun to see our team emerge and continue to grow in our structure, in our discipline, and how we want to play, which is slightly different than how we've played in the past. We're not scoring 4 goals a game and 4.5 goals. It's more we have to defend. We have to do a great job in our zone and create offense out of that. So overall, it's been a really enjoyable year with some great people in our locker room and a great staff.
That's Golden Gopher head coach Brad Frost, and that's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Our American Stories.
This is how you do it.
Weeknights on KDAL.
10:32 our time. Run a quick news break here. We're going to come back, talk some more about the Bulldogs series against St. Cloud State with fifth-year senior goaltender Matthew Thiessen, who will start in this building, we presume, for the final time this weekend. I'm guessing he'll get one of the games at least against the Huskies. That's to come after a CBS News update. 10:32 our time on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
Kidding me? God!
You say radon is silent but deadly, and then you expect me not to make farting noises with my mouth? What is this?
Please sit down.
You know what? We're not going to die of radon. We're going to die of boredom.
Yeah.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
10:37, weekend to come with Mr. Craig at 10:59. Back in studio Monday, we'll recap women's hockey selection Sunday and men's basketball selection Sunday next week before we head on the road for the NCHC playoffs. Had a chance this week to catch up with UMD men's hockey fifth-year senior goaltender Matthew Thiessen.
Second half of the year, been asking all the guys. First memory was skates on your feet and a stick in your hands.
My first memory is up in Lynn Lake, Manitoba. It's actually at the end of the road in Manitoba when they don't have the ice roads. I was living up there because my dad was working up there. There was a little pond, probably no bigger than this room, like maybe 10 by 10. Or I guess it was a little rink that they made out of the garden hose. And it was me and my neighbors. I put skates on for the first time, and I was skating around. One of the kids I was with, they fell, swung their stick, cut me right beside the eye, and then had to go to the hospital for a little bit. My mom was pretty scared, but there wasn't anything too crazy that happened. But yeah, that's my first memory of skates on.
So hold on here. Ice roads. You live by, you're by ice roads, like the ones we saw on the TV show back in the day?
Like Ice Road Truckers? Yeah. That's exactly where I used to live. There's actually somebody who's on that show that used to live in my hometown. So I only lived up there for, I think, 3 years for the most part, and then moved back down south when I was about 7 years old. But yeah, it was ice roads. Been up to Churchill with the polar bears and stuff too. So it's pretty fun.
I have used to be obsessed with that show. And this, I mean, it was on history like every year, so like 10, 12 years ago. There's a streaming channel that actually has it 24/7 now. I fell down that rabbit hole a couple summers ago, but between that and like Life Below Zero, it's just such a different breed, it feels like, of the people that you run into in those areas.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that have to do things to sustain themselves and stuff, right? I mean, it wasn't as much like living in a town and stuff for us, but you still got to go on those snowmobile trips, and you got to bring emergency satellite phones because you don't know what's going to happen. There's no cell phone service up there, so I'm still fortunate to go back up there every year on a fishing trip, so it's still lots of fun to just get away from everything and not have the busy life of having your phone and having emails and all that type of stuff. It's good to get away from it and just recharge and refocus sometimes.
All right, back to the hockey side of things. First time putting goalie pads on.
So I think that was around maybe second or third year after like skating. So this was like just a novice or something. I don't know what it's called now, but maybe around 8, 9 years old. Played goalie, would play player once in a while. And then I knew I wanted to be a goalie when I couldn't score as a forward anymore. I had one game where I had two backdoor tap-ins, and I think I missed both of them and hadn't scored a goal in being a player. So I was like, yeah, maybe I should just go in the net and try to stop the puck. I was a little bit better at that.
Talking to Bulldog 50-year goalie Matthew Thiessen. Okay, so what was the parents' reaction when you said, you know what, this isn't working for me. I want to be a goalie.
I honestly can't remember too much, but I'm sure my dad was willing to help me out with whatever I was going to do. He played as a centerman, so he didn't know anything about goalie really, but it was kind of fortunate. I had a goalie coach that came to my hometown, well, I think once every month or something like that, and I had a good mentor ahead of me that was also a goalie. He was 3 years older than me, and he ended up playing pro hockey as well, so I had a good mentor, and I always wanted to be like him, go on the ice with him and do what he was doing. So I was the little guy that was going out there and following him around and skating for 3 hours every Sunday morning, doing a goalie school and stuff, just trying to learn the ways on how to be a goalie and pick things up. And my dad would learn that too, and it's a pretty funny story because sometimes we wouldn't have enough shooters, and my dad would be on the ice almost all the time trying to get some shots on me and scoring on me and celebrating every time he got one on me. But it's a little bit of a different story now. I don't think he's put the skate on too long and hasn't scored on me in too long either.
At what point did the Division I hockey become something that you thought would be a really good option for you?
I guess it took a little bit later. This was kind of when I was 16, 17, so about to play my first year of juniors right after playing my last year in midget. And I was thinking, like, hey, I want to go the college route, I think. Like, just being able to get an education and be able to play hockey when you're older and stuff, too. That was something that was really appealing to me. So I looked more into it and started doing some more research and following it a little bit closer. And then when I started playing my first year for the Steinbach Pistons, I obviously knew I wanted to go play college hockey. And I guess it was at a different school than Duluth, but I kind of really fell in love with it and the atmospheres and being able to get that education. That was something that was big to me and my family, because you never know what's going to happen in life. But being able to play hockey and get an education and do that and be at school was something that I fell in love with, and that's kind of when I made my decision, like maybe the beginning of my first year in juniors.
We're not afraid to say you started at Maine. That's where you were. They're a competitor. But that's fine. We can say Maine on the air. What was your first exposure to whether it be the Black Bears program or just college hockey in general in person?
So I think that would be the summer before I was going into my freshman, or I guess my junior first year juniors. So that was a year where they had a college camp that was in, Winnipeg. And there was, I think, six teams there. I don't remember exactly what the teams were, but I know the Black Bears weren't one of them that was there. But I got exposure a little bit then, just being able to hear some voices from college coaches and what they had to say and what they were telling us to do to get on the right path to go to college. So you eat that up and you learn a lot about it through that, and that's what kind of sparked my interest a little bit as well too. But also I guess I got a little bit more exposure when I was playing for Team Manitoba. It's a U16 tournament, and my goalie coach for that tournament was actually the goalie coach at Maine. So that was, he wasn't the goalie coach then, but he ended up going there, so that's my first connection, because he was from Manitoba. So that also too, he's like, oh, you're gonna come on a visit to Maine one day. And I didn't really think anything of it. I'm like, Maine, what's that, what's college hockey? But then I guess, yeah, the year before juniors when we had that little showcase, that's when I first really got interested in Division I hockey.
All right, so you did start there. What's the first time you walked into Alphonse Arena?
That would have been in freshman summer when you walk into this place and you're, I should say on my visit. My visit was the first time I was there. They were playing BU, so it was a big game. And I remember walking in there, and this is the weekend before they're going to Ireland on a trip. So everyone was pretty excited and wanted to win their last game before going off on this trip. And I remember walking in there and just seeing the student section packed and how cool that was and the atmosphere that they had there with the band playing and stuff. I mean, it was a close game. I can't remember what the final score was, but being able to experience that and see the atmosphere that's in so many college rinks is something that also draws you in right away.
Talking to Bulldog goaltender Matthew Thiessen, when did you meet Red Gendron? Do you remember that moment? I've got a Red Gendron story, but the nice people listening have heard it 37 times by now. I'll tell you when we're done, but what was your first time meeting Red?
So that was on my visit when I was at Maine. I mean, Red, he's this kind of big figure where it's like you're a little bit scared of him with his deep voice and getting into his room. But, I mean, he was awesome. The first time I met him, I remember going in there and sitting down in his office, and he could tell I was a little bit nervous. It was my first time on a visit, but going through that whole conversation with him, he cared about like the person you were and your family and everything so much. And that was really evident with him every single day, that he cared about every single person on the team, everyone that he played for him, and really shaping every person into a man that he wants them to be, and wants them to learn from Maine how to be that person and that father and that best friend, and that somebody can be there for anyone going through a certain situation. And he really cared about that more than anything, more than hockey, more than anything. He just wanted you to have that good character and build you into a man that was going to be set an example for the rest of the world.
Well said. You come here, you spent the last 2 years here. What do you remember about your first game out here at Amsoil?
So that would have been, I think, the second game against ASU last year, and I was obviously pretty nervous for that game. You're coming into a new team, and you don't want to disappoint the guys and let them down. So I can remember I was pretty nervous for that first one, but coming out here and just getting the atmosphere, skating out to the blue line your first time and really soaking it all in, you just kind of black out, and you essentially get in a spot where you just say, hey, you're playing hockey again. You're just trying to stop the puck and help your team win. And it was an awesome feeling being able to get the win in the first game and have all the guys come up to you after the game. But I can remember just seeing the stands and seeing everyone there, and it's just like, man, we're here now, and you just got to be in the moment. I think that's something that was awesome and something that I really tried to cherish, and I mean, it ended up in a good way, so it definitely is a good experience.
Can you believe it's been 2 years already?
Oh, it feels like time has flown by so fast with being at Maine and also being here too. College goes by faster than you think. And I mean, we tell the young guys that all the time, because I remember when I was there and people were telling me, hey, it's going to fly by so fast, but you don't really understand it until you're there. And I mean, it's just crazy. You can't believe 2 years here has gone by so fast. I mean, I've built so many great connections, and hopefully we can get on a little bit of a run here and keep things going. But at the end of the day, it's crazy that the time flies so fast when you're playing the sport that you love.
For you individually, what do you feel is the biggest area of progress you've made in your game since you got here?
I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is, I mean, working with Brant and stuff, I've always wanted to get more comfortable in my post play. And I think in my last year at Maine, I was going through a little bit of injury where that was tough for me to be able to do that just, yeah, with the things I was going through. But being able to adapt that and get better at that and just get more confident with being able to get out there and control rebounds and not play so aggressive. I mean, sometimes you're going to have to make desperation saves. And I feel like I've just kind of gone out there and just played, not really thought too much, just being able to get something in front of a puck whenever that may be. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned is that it doesn't have to look pretty. You don't have to go out there and be this robot goalie that looks perfect with everything you do. At the end of the day, you just have to go out there and stop the puck. And I think it really being able to fine-tune some different areas of my game and get better at playing the puck, there's a couple things that I've definitely been able to get better at throughout the last couple of years here. But I think at the end of the day, it's just that confidence of just being able to go out there and just stop the puck at the end of the day.
Have you always been someone who's enjoyed playing the puck as a goalie? It feels like it is a strength of your game.
Yeah, I've always loved it. I think the first time trying to do it, going back and thinking about all the memories and stuff from playing goalie, I never really thought about playing the puck, but then you see more people go out there, and I remember seeing Marty Turco go out there and play the puck. I was always like intrigued by it, and then eventually my dad just like, hey, you're going to have to try it at some point. Why don't you just try it today? So then I start getting out there, going to stop the pucks behind the net, getting more and more comfortable with it. I mean, obviously there's some plays that you want back and some things that happen, but yeah, it's something that I try to work on and try to help out the D as much as I can.
How much do you think that has helped? I think back to the Western series, especially that Friday game. It felt like your ability to play the puck, it slowed down their forecheck, and they put a lot of pressure on teams. How much do you think over the years here it's helped your defense in terms of maybe relieving some of that pressure that can put on you guys?
Yeah, I mean, when you have an extra defenseman or somebody else that's out there going to stop the puck, it's definitely going to slow down the other team, and it also helps our D-men not get hit as much and stuff, and it does break up their forecheck once in a while if you are doing it right. Obviously, if you're turning pucks over and stuff, it's not going to help. But you can also catch teams off guard sometimes, too. If you go out there on the power play and the other team's changing, if you quick up a puck, you catch them off guard. So it's just good to have that in the back of other teams' minds to know that, hey, if they're going to give you the puck, they got to be ready for something coming the other way.
A couple more for Bulldog fifth-year senior goalie Matthew Thiessen. St. Cloud State here for senior weekend. Thoughts on the Huskies, first off, and then secondly, how emotional is this going to be for you? You're wrapping up your Bulldog career this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Huskies are a great team. I know we had two tight battles with them earlier in the year, and it's going to be another tough test. But I think, we've had a good week of practice so far, and we're going to be ready for the challenge that's coming our way. But I think we know what they're going to try to do. They're going to be a good team. They're skilled offensively, but I think we can go in there and try to work our forecheck and grind them down a little bit. But I guess going to what it's going to be like this weekend, I know we had senior night last year and I knew that I was coming back, so it wasn't as special as what's going to be this year. I know it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be emotional for sure. Last time in Amsoil Arena, I think that's something that it's going to be special to experience that with the people I'm with too. I mean, all the seniors and fifth years that we have here this year, it's going to be something that I'm going to cherish for a long time. But at the end of the day, hopefully we can go out there and have a strong performance. But yeah, it's going to be good to have my parents here and my family and be able to experience it with the other players' families and stuff too, because we have become brothers. We are so tight-knit, and I think that's what makes it special too, is that we can experience those things together and remember them for the rest of our lives.
Finally, do you have plans post-UMD? Have you decided on anything you want to do going forward yet?
I haven't quite decided on what I'm going to do. I'd like to keep playing hockey. That's the goal. Hopefully I can find a spot somewhere. I don't really know where that is yet, just with the whole rights things with Vancouver and stuff right now. But yeah, hopefully I can figure that out when the time comes and see where I want to play. But I definitely want to keep playing. I love hockey. It's a sport I love. I think it's the best sport in the world, and I enjoy doing it. So it'd be something I want to continue to do.
6:30 pregame tonight, 5:30 tomorrow, Bulldogs, St. Cloud State. Wrap it up and usher in the weekend next, 10:50 at KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher football.
Zone touchdown, Golden Gophers.
KDAL.
10:59. Sunday is the selection show for the NCAA Women's Hockey Tournament. We'll be rehashing that. We expect the Bulldogs will be in. We'll preview their regional, which will begin next Thursday. And Sunday is also selection show for the men's basketball team. And we'll get a recap of that for you as we're back in studio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it looks like next week. And the rest of it is TBD, depending on where the Bulldogs are for playoffs. Have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.